Hey, hi, hello.
Hello there.
I'm Kate.
And I'm Liv.
And this is We're Not Experts, But.
How are you doing, Liv? Gosh, we're both so excited that we talked at the same time.
Okay. I think you should keep that in there.
Okay, we can keep it in there. Obviously, this is our first episode. I was just going to say, welcome to our first episode, but I don't think anyone needs a welcome now that they've heard that.
I was just so excited to hear how you were. I haven't talked to you in like 2 days, and I feel like my life fell apart.
I agree.
It was weird.
Yeah, we don't usually spend that much time not talking, but
it's usually like at least 5 texts a day at the very least.
Okay, probably more like 10 texts, but 5 of those are TikTok videos from you. And then the rest are text messages.
You love them. Don't even lie to yourself.
I mean, yes, of course. But do they count as talking?
I know. Because of the TikTok algorithm, my entire For You page is just like all videos that you like that like, I save them now to my camera roll so that I don't send you 500 at a time.
That is an incredible fun fact about you that I now know.
I'm not even kidding. I have like 30 in my camera roll.
That's incredible. I am sorry that I abandoned you and deleted TikTok, but I felt A, way too old, and B, like I had no self-control when I was on that app. I had it for approximately 3 weeks. And I'm pretty sure that those 3 weeks were just me scrolling.
Yeah, I spent about like 3 hours on it today. But the old thing, millennials are taking over.
Also, not to get sexual right up front, especially since that's usually your territory and not mine. But those 3 weeks that I was on TikTok, there were just a bunch of men talking about their kinks, which I was like, now I know I have no idea. I know it's an algorithm, but it was like from the get, there was like these men talking about how, you know, they love X, Y, and Z. And I knew I was too old at that moment because I was like, why are you sharing this much about yourself on the internet? Everyone can see your face. So
whereas we go on our Facebook memories and there's like every single little thought we had, the song lyrics that we thought were like super edgy.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure like a couple days ago, my, Facebook status. Wow, I forgot what it's called. My Facebook status from 2008 was studying, maybe a walk later, frowny face. Uh-oh.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. That makes me laugh a lot. But you should have waited because I have recently found Witch Talk, and I feel like you would be really into that.
Witch Talk, that does sound fun. Actually, I'm currently staring from across the room at the beautiful smudge stick that we purchased together for our post-Halloween staging of the apartment when we watched too many scary movies in a row.
You know, I actually thought that I would be more scared, especially after the first one that we watched, Paranormal Activity. Because I cannot stand that. I mean, I love that movie, but like it always freaks me out. But I don't know, maybe because it was your first time seeing it, I was more laughing at you getting scared than like, I still cannot watch that last like 5 seconds though.
I still
have never seen it.
Yeah, I have to actively not think about that before I go to bed. Every once in a while, I get a little bit of a spiral. A horror spiral, some PTSD. And then I just think, no, we saged all the bad juju away.
And we did it correctly by opening the windows and the doors.
And repeating mantras and making sure that we followed the rules. So I think we're good. Hey, this is our podcast.
Oh yeah, we should probably start that now.
Yeah.
We're going to be real good at this.
Yeah, this is going to be an excellent experience. So, Kate, welcome to our first episode.
Welcome. I am so excited to get this ball rolling. What are we going to be talking about today?
Well, as our podcast bio states, we are going to be testing each week a different anxiety cure-all. So this week we have chosen DIYs, which, okay, you opened your mouth to say something, so I paused. We're really going to have to get used to this Zoom experience.
I know. I was just about to say, and let me tell you, not into it, but we'll get to our final thoughts later.
Absolutely. Also, apologies in advance if our audio is just ice clinking in a glass, because I'm drinking a very large cocktail as we discuss this, and I just realized that my ice is being quite vocal. I think it wants its own podcast, so.
It just wants to be acknowledged.
True.
To be honest.
Don't we all? So, the way that we are going to work this podcast moving forward, so each week prior to our record date, we will have each tried a different whatever it is underneath the umbrella of our chosen topic. So for this week, we chose the topic to be DIY. So last week, we both spent time doing DIYs and either mentally or pen and paper recording our experiences to discuss, with the intention being that it was supposed to cure our anxiety.
Did it cure yours?
I'm gonna go with no. But it did help.
I didn't think it would. Oh, it did help.
Absolutely. We'll get to that.
Ever since you moved into your apartment, I almost called it new apartment, even though you've been there for like a year.
Well, everyone knows time in 2020 doesn't actually exist. So it is my new apartment.
Right. You're not turning 30 until next year. I forgot. Right. But ever since you moved into your apartment, you have been the DIY queen. So this makes a lot of sense to me.
Yes, I am a big DIY bandwagon joiner. I saw a lot on Instagram, like leading up to moving. And then, I don't know, I've never lived in a space where I'm able to DIY as much as I can here. Part of it's because I live alone. Part of it is because I have a lot of space for my own self. And I have a backyard in which to spray paint things, which, could you imagine if I tried to spray paint things when we lived in the basement or
no
of the other apartments that we lived in together?
No, thank you.
On the roof of our foggy bottom apartment?
Could you imagine? Although we were like the only ones up there half of the time. Sure. So you probably could have gotten away with it, to be honest.
Probably. Oh, well, hindsight.
2020.
Yep. So for each of our topics, we will do two things. We will actively do them to report back, but we will also do a little bit of research. And that research is a very, very, very loose term, because if you recall, Kate, our podcast is named We're Not Experts.
And that's exactly why we're doing this research, right? It's because we're not experts, we have to use the expert Google to tell us things.
Google with a capital G.
I mean, it is a proper noun, so.
True. I'm stating facts. Google with a capital G.
You're an expert on proper nouns.
Yeah, we both capitalized the first letter of our first names. Ooh, we are off to a good start.
Oh, God, that cocktail looks amazing.
Thank you. I DIY'd it. Just kidding. I didn't. Well, I guess technically I did. I made a recipe.
You did it yourself.
Yeah. I made a recipe with my sister and then did not ask her for the actual recipe. Was too lazy to use the proper noun, Google, and just made up the measurements. And so therefore I DIY'd it, right?
Did you make the tequila?
Oh my God, could you imagine if I made tequila?
You probably could.
I would need some agave, which I do not have.
Buy some.
So simple. I'll turn my little backyard into an agave farm.
I mean, you're already growing eggplants and whatnot. So.
That's true. Okay, so I was thinking about this as we were discussing this topic. Technically, my whole existence this summer has been one giant DIY, which
you're not wrong.
I mean, I grew 6 full-size eggplants in a tiny planter in my backyard DC apartment space.
And you should have seen her goddamn face. It lit up every time she talked about it.
I kind of went out every single morning to greet my eggplants, and I wish that was a lie, but it's not.
Didn't you like have to start your morning?
Yeah, that was a ritual. It was, maybe we should discuss rituals in one of our episodes, because I did. I had a lot of anxiety when I moved in, and each morning I had such a regimen. I would walk out of my bedroom. I would brush my teeth. While brushing my teeth, I would open the blinds to my entire apartment, and then I would finish brushing my teeth and go outside and say good morning to my produce.
You're adorable.
Or crazy.
Adorably crazy?
Sure, I will take it. So back to the topic at hand. It's going to be the catchphrase of this podcast, I think.
Back to the topic at hand.
We are discussing the purported benefits of doing some sort of DIY to help mitigate some anxiety, I don't know, symptoms or feelings or spirals. I think when we were discussing DIY, we kind of defined it as any sort of project, really. We actually really didn't discuss the parameters of what we consider DIY. We just kind of fell into it. We both have had DIY type projects in the past. I think.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's also kind of the spirit of DIY, not putting any parameters on it, you know, because like you could have done cross stitching like me. You could have spray painted more of your glass bottles, or I also did my gallery wall. So, I mean, I think that that's kind of the spirit of DIY. So I think it's a good thing that we didn't.
I agree.
And I think that that's going to be like a good thing for the rest of our topics as well, like just keeping it as vague so we can interpret it however we want, unless like there needs to be some specific parameter to it.
Well, I think like when we were discussing reading a self-help book, I think that's a very easy to put parameters on. It's you have to pick a self-help book.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I think interpretation is going to be key. And I think that's kind of the value of this podcast. You're hearing two different perspectives from two different types of anxious people, and kind of how that one umbrella sort of category is both interpreted and then acted upon by two different people.
And who knows, we might help some of you along the way as well.
Wouldn't
you might that- to us. You might not. And then you'll know what to do versus what not to do.
That's true. I feel like if we do any good in this world, it might be showing someone what not to do.
Oh my gosh. I cannot wait for some of those.
Yeah, we'll see. So I think kicking off this DIY endeavor, after we both picked our topics, we kind of did a very rough research on what and how DIY relates to mental health. And
actually, don't lump me into that. You did all the research. I do not take any credit.
I was just gonna let you ride, but thank you for
I was not. You ownership. Are welcome.
I appreciate that honesty. We have decided to trade our research back and forth. So don't worry. I'll be super lazy next week. Not that I'm calling you super lazy. Wow, that was not at all my
intention. I was super lazy because we just decided that like 5 minutes before we started recording because I didn't do any research. So, I mean, today I spent 3 hours on TikTok and I'm watching Jersey Shore.
You are doing what now?
Did I not tell you that?
No. Is this podcast going to become scary life updates from Liv and Kate?
To be honest, think it might just become that or like have some segments of that because I just started, maybe I'm halfway through now, the second to last season of Jersey Shore.
I don't know how to feel about that. I'm sorry for the long pause.
I made my boyfriend watch it with me the other day.
Oh dear, how did he feel about that?
I promised him that if I put it on that he could make fun of it without me getting mad or offended. And he took that and ran with it, to be honest.
Okay. That's a win-win on both of your sides.
Yeah. We keep getting off topic and I'm so sorry about it.
That's okay. I mean, listen, your spiral into Jersey-based reality television is an anxiety trigger of mine. So let's get back to the
topic. Did it activate your fight or flight?
Yep. Instead of, actually, it's not fight or flight. It's fight, flight, or freeze, and I'm frozen to the spot. I don't even know what to do.
I'm sorry to have triggered you in that way.
That's okay. Would you like me to share my research now?
I would, very much indeed.
Great. I think we both follow a lot of people on Instagram or Twitter or whatever who are DIY. I think on my end, it's more DIYing for home. For you, you do a lot of fashion and just kind of like lifestyle, where there's some overlap there. So I think that's where we both kind of got the idea for DIY. But I wanted to just see, I know art therapy is a thing, so I just kind of wanted to dive in a little bit, very briefly, like within the first 3 pages of a Google search. So you too can find this information. I did read a couple of things. There was a fun Washington Post article, a website called Well and Good, a CNN Health article. There was a study by the Harvard Medical something or other. I promise you it's legit.
You can link all of them in the description if you want to find them yourself.
That's true.
Or Liv is actually telling the truth.
I swear I am. But basically, over the course of both like Think PC and then actual founded research, there are a couple of main themes, if you will, of why DIYing or crafting, whatever you want to say, is something that is beneficial. I think quickly, I'm just going to say, if you don't know what DIYing is, DIYing is an acronym for doing it yourself or some variation thereof. So a lot of times DIYing is craft-based. Other times it's like you find a piece of IKEA furniture and you want to turn it into a piece of furniture that actually looks like it came from West Elm, and you do that yourself. It can also mean like building a home and totally tricking that home out by yourself. It really runs the entire gamut of creative possibilities. So I don't know of anyone who doesn't know what a DIY is, but I also don't want to be presumptuous. So there you go.
Very thoughtful of you.
Thanks. Just trying to be inclusive. So I think, yeah, the main themes here are crafting or DIYing gives you a sense of control. So one of the main themes of anxiety is not feeling like you're in control. For me, I avoid things. I get anxious and I avoid things if I don't feel like I'm in control. For you, what does that mean? How do you feel out of control with your anxiousness?
It's hard to explain.
Is it that sense of freezing that you were talking about earlier?
Yeah. Like, and that's when you said fight, flight, or freeze. And I just freeze. And like, I'm physically unable to do something. It gets me so sick to my stomach. And I think it's just like the fear of failure, the feeling of like being a disappointment, that type of thing, you know?
Yeah. Yep, absolutely. So I think there's a lot of different ways that anxiety can kind of push you out of feeling like you're controlling your life or the situation at hand or whatever it is. So DIYing and crafting supposedly gives you a sense of control. It allows you to kind of manipulate the situation around you by actually giving you sensory stimuli. So using your hands to touch and feel different textures, I guess.
Like textile.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. A lot of these articles talked about knitting, which is a very repetitive process as well, which leads me into the next one, which is crafting, DIYing often brings on a flow or some sort of meditative state so you can zone out. I think, if I remember correctly, you were saying you like to do it when you have something on the TV or YouTube or you have another...
My online classes, like I just watched my course videos and I cross-stitched. But I'll talk more about that later. Sure.
Yeah. So it allows you to just kind of zen out, which I think is an interesting, something that I definitely found, which we can talk about later. But then also, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, that's okay. But wouldn't that only affect like some DIY projects, like knitting, or like, I don't think that you could really zone out and get into a quote unquote meditative state when you're actually like building something, because you need to be, I guess you can, because you're so focused on what you're doing. Never mind. That was Never mind.
No, I see where you were going with that. I definitely disagree. I think you can totally be in a meditative state, but I see where it's not intuitive. And if maybe you're not someone who is anxious, doesn't actually think about it that way, where it's just work. I don't know any carpenters, but if there's like a carpenter out there and it's their job and therefore it doesn't have that same kind of...
That can come as like second nature, repetitive, that right. kind of thing. I'm just not, you know this. Everybody knows this about me. I am not a big DIYer. So that type of thinking just like doesn't come naturally to me. Cause I'm like, why would I want to build a birdhouse to relax? You know what I mean? But I guess if someone's really good at it.
Well, okay. So that's actually one of the things that I saw theme wise across most of the articles that I read. It's like, it also gives you a chance to reconnect with your knowledge of self. Like you have to totally address what you're up for, A, what you're capable of, like being real with yourself. You know, like for me, I can't freaking draw a straight line if I wanted to. I know that, you know, painting a landscape is never going to be in the cards for me. And if I tried, it would totally stress me out. So yeah, you bring up a really good point in that you really have to kind of find your own little nichey niche. So according to a couple PhDs, the act of enjoyable activities in general. So in this case, we're going to lump DIYing into, maybe not for you, but for others, it basically brings about a positive feeling, lowering your stress, which you're boosting your neurotransmitters, so serotonin, dopamine, which are just kind of tied to those feel-good chemicals in general, helping to kind of bring you back down to a, if not euphoric or happy feeling, but just kind of having that baseline not be full-on freak out all of the time. It also just kind of gives you a minute to just take a breath. You know, when you pick up, let's say, a paintbrush, or for you, your hoop, or is it called a hoop?
I think. Okay, cool. I'm not really in tune with the lingo.
Round thing?
Yeah, let's go with that. Cool. Round clinger thing.
I like that. So when you pick that up, your brain automatically shifts to away from that anxious feeling toward that crafty vibe or whatever. Actually, one of my favorite things that I read was from the Washington Post article that I found. Where did it go?
I think it was the CNN one.
Oh, you're right. You're right. Thank you. So our bodies are in a constant state of stress because our brains can't tell the difference between an upcoming meeting with the boss or an upcoming bear attack. I think this is hysterical, first of all, because I often feel like my weekly one-on-ones are an incoming bear attack, even if I'm doing fantastic work.
Humans are so stupid.
I know. What have we done to ourselves?
Nothing good.
Nope. So the quote continues, the repetitive motions of knitting, for example, activate the parasympathetic nervous system, which quiets that fight or flight response. So basically, it's just a soothing mechanism is really what it comes down to. It's a soothing mechanism, but it's also an activity to give you a sense of self-satisfaction or joy, or being able to, for instance, if you're someone who knits a lot of scarves and then you donate them, you kind of bring in that opportunity to help others. It opens up just a lot of doors for taking you out of what might be some sort of like anxious feeling or even an anxious spiral and take you into a potentially meditative, if not just an interruption to those anxious thoughts.
How very interesting, because it's not something that I had really ever thought about, or rather consciously thought about, until I was reading your notes. But it makes a ton of sense, especially like the whole knitting thing, just getting into your flow and the meditative state part of it, just not really thinking about it, just doing it so that your hands aren't idle, your brain is subconsciously focusing on one thing instead of the anxiety. It just makes complete sense to me.
Yeah, I was equally surprised and not surprised by the kind of theme that flowed through all of them. It's interesting. I've always used DIYing, always in the past 9 months of coronavirus, have used DIYing as like a escape from the real world. So I was actually expecting more of a escapism vibe from these articles and less of a meditative flow controlling your situation kind of vibe, I think.
But I also think that even though what all these articles are saying is true about the meditative part of it, I also think people can use DIY for different things when it comes to anxiety. Like for you, you used it to escape from the ever impending doom of COVID, right? Mm-hmm. And like, so that's what you were expecting from these articles. So I think it's just kind of what you're needing at the moment. I don't think it's always getting into a meditative state. Sometimes it can just be escaping it for a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. You bring up a good point. I think it'll be interesting as we kind of transition back to normal life, whenever that is, as two anxious people anyway. Mm-hmm. And of course, we'll talk about this at the end of the episode. But if we do continue DIYing, if it brings us different benefits than during COVID times.
Yeah. And if we'll even continue to do it after COVID, or if it'll have the same effects after COVID on it.
Yep. Yeah, yeah, I think it's interesting. I am excited to learn a little bit more about what you did for your DIY adventure.
Okay, so as I have stated multiple times, because I am not very good at burying the lead, I did cross stitching. Mm-hmm. And okay, so I used to cross stitch like a couple years ago, and I got pretty good at it.
Can I interrupt you quickly?
Yeah.
What is cross-stitching exactly? I pretend that I know, but I don't know if I actually know.
Okay. I wish that this was a visual medium right now, but you're going to post it on our Instagram anyway, which mm-hmm. we're going to plug at the end of the episode. So it's, you get like a piece of fabric, and if you cross-stitch, don't come for me because I don't know the lingo, like I've already stated. All right.
So you get throw up the name of our podcast and they'll understand.
So you get this piece of like fabric with like tiny little holes in it in like the shape of a grid.
Okay.
And they're like really close together. Then you put it in a hoop to keep it like steady and centered on what you're going to be making. So it's like a circle thing. And then just like the name states, you make your stitches into like an X shape or a cross.
Oh.
And then you just like keep going with that.
Excellent.
Until you get the shape that you want.
Well, that sounds very complicated.
Okay. Starting it, I can never figure it out. And I think it's because I'm not very good at tying knots.
Oh.
I think it's also because I didn't get the correct kind of fabric. It's just a little too thick, so it doesn't stay in the hoop as well. It's also a really cheap hoop, and the yarn doesn't go through it very well, you know? So it's a little bit frustrating. And that's kind of why I didn't like it, because, like I was saying, I did it a few years ago and then stopped. And I don't remember why I stopped, but I was pretty good at it. Like, I could watch TV and just bang out a cross stitch, like, in about 2-3 hours, depending on, like, what I was making.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, none of my things were, like, Etsy worthy. You know what I mean? Like, super simple. So for this specific one, I knew that I wanted to like get back into cross stitching just because I have the time.
Right.
Hashtag COVID, hashtag job loss, whatever.
Sure.
And I'm doing like online school, so I knew that it would be good for like when I'm watching the course videos the second time after taking notes, I can just like, you know, do it.
Right.
Last time it also really did put me in that meditative state that you were talking about. All of those articles saying. So I thought it would help me again. No. Oh, no, it did not. And I think it's because my anxiety is way different than it was a couple years ago. I mean, my anxiety levels are kind of through the roof. I mean, whose isn't right now, you know?
Sure.
And I got clinically diagnosed with OCD tendencies. So that brings out a lot of perfectionism, which goes hand in hand with anxiety, right? Makes sense. Sure. So as I was cross stitching, my skills are a little rusty. So because I couldn't get it the first time and I kept messing up and I kept messing up and I kept messing up, it just frustrated the hell out of me. So it just made me angry, which increased my anxiety levels because I couldn't do it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh my God, it was frustrating.
That makes sense. Can you maybe share what your process was? Like, did you set the mood? did you set everything up in front of you? Did you have a cocktail? Like, what were you doing?
So the first time I definitely tried to quote unquote set the mood. I put on an episode of Mad Men because I'm also watching that. And I put on an episode of Mad Men. I lit my favorite candle. I had all of the lights on because I can't see in the dark.
Sure.
And, you know, I was just trying to get in the zone. But at a certain point, I had to turn the TV off just because I had missed everything that had gone on because I was so frustrated because I kept messing up the beginning knot. And so it would like always come out. So then I had to like double knot and it came out. And then I had to triple knot and it came out. And I was like, am I pulling too hard? Are the holes too big in this fabric? Like, maybe it's just everything. Maybe I suck. I don't know. So I like had to throw it down and I didn't pick it up again for like 2 days.
Wow. Were you anxious that night that you started? Did you start because of our podcast or did you start because you were anxious or both?
I mean, a little bit of both. I think I'm in a constant state of anxiousness right now. So I don't need to like wait to do anything for this podcast. So yes, I was anxious, but I also did start because of our podcast. And also I've been like thinking about it. I mean, my book on different patterns and stuff is like right in my desk. So I see it every day. So I did want to get back into it, but I don't know, man, it was rough. Yeah. And I'm trying to like save my money. So I really can't get any new, better materials. You know, you get what you pay for on Amazon, I guess.
True, true. Yeah, I think that's a really interesting part of DIYing. And I'm glad you brought that up. I kind of have this sense, and I don't know if you do too, that the more money you put into it, the more therapeutic it's going to be because you're going to have better ingredients or better tools or whatever it is. And that was kind of a preconceived notion I had before. And coming out of that, I still have that. And that kind of sucks.
Yes. Yes. I mean, if you're doing like beaded bracelets or painting, that might not be a good example, but you can buy a lot of things in bulk, which sure could save you money. But if you're just doing like a one-off that you don't even know if you're going to continue with it, you just want to buy the cheapest stuff. Yep. Right? Like I bought a shitty plastic orange hoop. I bought like a cross-stitching kit for $5. Right. I really do like the yarn though, but like that's the only part of it I like. Oh, and the tools. The tools are nice, but like the needle, I don't know. Yeah, it's definitely more therapeutic the more you spend. That if you're not a DIY type of person, it just doesn't seem worth it.
That's so weird. And I'm glad you brought that up because that doesn't seem intuitive. And I feel like people would argue with us. I'm actually interested. We do have a Gmail. So if there's anything at any point that we talk about, maybe you are the cross-stitch king or queen or non-gendered individual who is also royalty, and you are the whoever of cross-stitch or whatever, I'd be interested to know if that is your feeling as well, because that was a preconceived notion I have, and you just affirmed it, and it sounds like we're pretty much on the same page that if you don't have dough to shell out,
you definitely
are kind of limited in some of the things that you can achieve with your project.
Definitely. So now I'm in kind of a funk, and I have been about these particular objects because like I just put them in drawer and forget about it. Because I don't want to see it just like in my face, but I'm like, I spent money on this crap. And granted, it's not a lot of money, but I still spent money on it. I think about it and I think everyone has these thoughts, but that's $10 I could have had right now.
Right, exactly.
And that just makes me more anxious because I'm running out of money.
Right, sure. As an unemployed person, that must be a very scary feeling.
Yeah. So when I see shit like that in my apartment, I'm just like, oh my God. I either need to be perfect at it or I cannot spend money on it. And so, it sucks that like I already spent money on it a couple of years ago, but you know.
Well, at least it was a couple of years ago money and not now money.
That is extremely true. Oh, look at you silver lining me.
Sometimes you get a silver lining, even though I hate silver linings because people try to shove them upon you, and 9 times out of 10, you don't want them.
Wow, we're just negative Nancys, aren't we?
Yeah, I think our week of cure-all didn't cure all at all.
No. And I'm sorry to be so down on DIYs because I know you really love them.
Heck no, girl. This is what our podcast is about. It is, how did this large umbrella situation affect you and affect me? So speak your truth.
Well, TLDR version, I hated it and it made me more anxious. So
very sorry to hear that. Oh, is it like a 0 out of 10, a 2 out of 10, a 1.67 out of 10?
I'm going to give it like a solid 3 out of 10.
Okay.
Just because I did make something, but all it says is fuck. Which kind of explains my feelings towards this project.
Faux show, yeah.
But at least it's in a pretty pink, so.
Aesthetic.
I wanted it to say fuck off.
Oh.
Couldn't figure out how to make an O, so I just didn't.
I like that. That's excellent.
Thank you. I'm going to give it to you for Christmas.
I'm going to hang it on my wall, like right as I'm walking out of the apartment. So every time I walk out, my mantra is, fuck! Or I interact with anyone or go anywhere.
I really think you should. It's going to be so aesthetic.
Oh, man.
Oh, anyway, what did you decide to do? I don't think we talked about yours yet. I don't even think I knew what you did.
Yeah, we actually didn't. And that is because I think it's partially because I've been DIYing so much.
Right.
But one thing that I decided to focus on specifically for this project with something, or project, excuse me, podcast, is something I wanted to try and never tried before. So I didn't want to do something I'd done before. I really wanted to go ahead and explore something new. So I don't know if you've seen on Instagram, but there is this process of creating a like textured clay looking piece of pottery out of like a shitty vase that you have in your home using just acrylic paint or whatever paint you have on hand mixed with baking soda.
No, I've never seen that. Probably because I don't follow the same people you do.
Probably. As you know, I have approximately 1,050 plants in my home, and I get a little tired. I mean, they're in old glass milk jugs, they're in old Perrier glass bottles, they're in old mason jars. And
because vases are unnecessarily expensive.
Yes, why?
Like rugs.
Pots.
I have no idea.
Why?
No idea.
Being a little strapped for cash, I obviously don't have the funds for expensive pots and things right now. So I wanted to give this a try. And I did. And I actually did it on a night that was so incredibly sad and stressful. And I felt very much like my life was out of control and just all those super fun anxiety feelings. And I was babysitting a dog who threw up in my apartment. And now my apartment perpetually smells like Smart Pop white cheddar popcorn from their vomit that I can't find. And it's a very long story, but the long and short of it is that I gave this a try. And ever since then, so for the past like week and change, I have been painting anything that I can get my hands on.
So you liked it?
Oh, I loved it. So for the first time, I felt that zen that the articles were talking about. So
interesting.
I tried clay work at the beginning of this quarantine. I tried watercolors. I baked a little bit. Obviously, I have my garden. Like, I tried a lot of activities. Sorry, my face is very warm right now.
From all of that tequila. That was a big glass.
Well, I mean, a lot of it was grapefruit juice, but also, yeah.
Sure it was.
2 ounces of tequila and 2 ounces of wine and 2 ounces of Campari. And then grapefruit juice. But yeah, so I had tried a lot of different things. I had very unsuccessfully made an incense holder. I tried very unsuccessfully to make my sister a beautiful snake catch-all tray because she owns Blueberry the Snake. And I might post it on her Instagram just to show how bad it came out. It looked like a demonic flatworm.
Do I know you anymore? Like, I had no idea about any of this. Who are you?
I sit alone in my little apartment all day, every day. And therefore, I must do activities.
Girl, I am here. I don't go anywhere.
Yeah, but I don't... What?
FaceTime me.
I know, but I don't always like to socialize. And I know that it doesn't seem like it, but FaceTime is socialization for me. When I get anxious, which has been 9 times out of 10 each and every day these days, I don't want to see or talk to anyone because part of
it
is social. So that's why I was so excited for DIYing, because it's so not social.
I'm just being selfish. It's okay.
You know I want to talk to you all the time. It's just sometimes not feasible for me in that moment.
I get it. Stop making me feel bad.
No. We're going to FaceTime every week, at least once a week. If not.
Oh, thank God. Thank God. Anyway. Back to you.
Yeah, so I picked this as an activity because on the one hand, it was cheap. So I have a ton of stress about money right now. And I found acrylic paint for 99 cents at Target. And it came in like those cute, moody, neutrally colors that I love so much.
Aww.
And I found a really ugly vase at Goodwill for $1.99. And I had a couple of things in my house. Oh my gosh, there's a curry brand that now I can't think of. It's a red curry paste that I absolutely adore. And it comes in a cute little jar. Is it Cholula or Chalupa? Chalupa is the lollipop, correct?
No, it's a type of food, right? No, it's a Taco Bell thing.
What's happening? We don't know anything.
please don't come for us.
We're just idiots. I'm pretty sure it's Cholula hot sauce, but I'm going to look it up to make sure that I don't sound exceedingly dumb.
Yeah, because a Cholupa is like a Taco Bell thing.
Right. But isn't there a lollipop?
No, sweetie. Hold You're on. Doing great, sweetie.
Thanks. Cholula hot sauce is what I'm talking about. I'm going to look up these lollipops as well, because I might as well. Everyone definitely wants to hear this. Lollipop.
You just want to say that you're right. On air.
Okay, they're not even close to being chalupas. They're chupa chup. Who was a podcast? Who decided this was a good idea?
I'm legally changing my name to that.
Chupa chups?
What does it look like? We'll post one of those on our Instagram too.
Our Instagram is just going to be a whole hot mess. It's not going to be cute or branded.
Like
us. It's going to be mistakes that we've made that we have to prove you exist.
Like us.
True. So Cholula hot sauce has one of the cutest little bottles with like this really cute bead looking top to it. So I decided I would try it on that. The whole process was, first you have to soak your glass jars or whatever in hot water if they have any labels, so you can easily get the labels off and get all the dirt off. And then you want to make sure you rub it in acetone or what's the other thing called?
Rubbing alcohol?
Thank you. Alcohol.
You're welcome.
Too much alcohol to remember what alcohol is called. You rub it down with alcohol. And basically the goal is to just make sure there's nothing that would hinder paint from sticking and give yourself a nice finish. So once that's done and it's all dry, you go ahead then and mix your paint. And it's so simple. You basically pick your color. And if you are like me, you spend approximately 1 hour mixing colors until you're like, wait a minute, I think I came up with the same color that I just started with.
I do like those videos, that like paint smearing.
Oh, yeah.
Videos. Oh my God. They are so relaxing. I cannot get enough of them.
Those are.
So I definitely understand that. So.
Yes. Talk about getting in the zone. It was like a little of this, a little of that, mix, mix, mix. This looks so cute. Do I want it a different thing? Do I want it the other thing? And yeah, before I knew it, it was 1 hour in and I still had like not yet picked my final color. So once you have your final color, you pour an appropriate amount onto whatever surface. It's acrylic paint, so you just have to make sure it's not going to absorb your paint. And then you mix in as much baking soda as you would like. So if you do a little bit, you're probably not going to notice. So you want to do a pretty decent amount of baking soda. And once again, I have no freaking measurements because you just pour until it looks right. I put in a medium amount until it was pretty gritty, but it still went on smoothly enough. If it's too thick, you can add a little bit of water. And then you just paint it on your surface. And you're going to need to do at least two coats. But they have...
I was about to ask.
Yeah. And you have to give them time to fully dry in between, or else the baking soda is going to drag the first coat of paint right off, and you're going to get lots of splodgy spots. And yes, I did learn that from trial and error.
Wait, so you have to wait until the first coat is dry to put on the second coat?
Exactly. Yep. So I fully recommend having a dog throw up in your apartment. So that way, despite the cold temperatures, you open your window and have two fans going. So that way there's tons of air to dry your project.
As much as you advocate for that, I don't think I'm going to do that, but thanks for looking out.
Your loss. It's fine. You can also use a hair dryer in a pinch if you don't have a dog to throw up.
Do I have a hair dryer? Besides the point. Oh, that's good. I really, really, really cannot wait to see it. It sounds so cool. Not that I would ever do it, but cool for you.
It was incredible. So right now in the room that I'm in, I have two of them that I can see right now. I did like a very dusty blue and a very kind of sand colored brown. It started with a color called Driftwood Satin.
Very you color name.
Yeah. And I mixed that with Egg Satin, which, ew. And then there was another color called Malted Milk, also ew.
I don't like that.
Nope. Yeah, so I just mixed until my heart's content, and I probably painted like six bottles, and then I was so here is the crux of the matter. I felt so good by the time I was finishing up with my second coat on most of these jars that I was like, what can I paint? I need to paint more things. I feel so good. And I remembered that I had purchased canvases before, so I pulled those out and started painting on them. I found old flower pots out in the garden that had broken that I was like, throw paint on them, they'll be fine, and they look cute.
You overachiever.
Only in this one. I think there are going to be a couple of topics where I do not succeed, but I would give this a 10 out of 10. It was epic. I felt really good afterward, to the point where I actually went out and got more jars to paint, because I knew that if I ever got to the sad, anxious feeling that I was feeling that night again, that it would be a really good fix.
That's good. Mm-hmm. I'm glad you enjoyed it, and I'm glad that it did help you.
Thank you.
It seemed like it really helped you.
Yeah, it was
cool. Like, obsessively helped you.
I might be a little extra hyped on the situation, but I mean, it worked out really well. It had all of the elements. So you know how you were talking about that frustrated portion?
Yeah.
That's why I stopped doing clay work. That's why I stopped doing watercolors, because they weren't helping me, because I can't, I'm not artistic at all.
Right.
This is just mixing things to make it look like liquid sand and then putting it on a thing. it requires no skill, but it also takes you into that like meditate, the paintbrush stroking, the whole thing. You know what I mean? And I had on, here's an embarrassing fact. As of that night, did not have access to Netflix, so I didn't know what to watch. You know how you get in the groove? Like, all of the shows that I watch are on Netflix.
Yes.
There's definitely stuff on Hulu and Prime and all of those places that I could watch, but that's not where my head was. So,
right. Yeah, I get it.
What do I watch? So I put on all of the Twilight movies. Please don't judge me.
Oh my God. You're like me during the first month of quarantine. Do you remember me like texting you videos, like commentary? Did you go back to those texts as you were watching them?
I did not, but I did think of you, and I did think of those text messages and all of the subsequent TikToks that you sent me about it.
TikTok is TikTok, but Twilight is having like a serious renaissance right now.
I'm into it because...
I am too, because those movies were a cultural reset, to be honest.
Let me tell you, as a slightly reformed Twilight girl, you know my history. I am.
I'm not going to put you on blast, but yes, I do know your history.
It's okay. I'll put myself on blast. Listen, I was very vulnerable. The books came out when I was a young teenager. I think I was 14 or 15. It spoke to my soul. I just wanted to be loved in what I thought was a beautiful and romantic way. And now looking back on it, it's a full-on serial killer stalker way, but whatever. That's all I wanted. So they were a beautiful thing. I may have gone to midnight showings. I may have gone to...
Oh, bro, me too. That is nothing to be ashamed of.
Right. I went to midnight book drops. I dressed
up. But I did have, I'm going to out myself so hard on this one. I did go to a midnight showing in my Team Edward shirt. That was just like a little too tight on me. So my big ass boobs would attract the attention of Robert Pattinson if he like happened to come to the premiere in my shitty little ass town. So
no, he really loves small New Jersey towns. Absolutely. His favorite spot to be.
And like a 15-year-old pretty much prostituting herself to him. Yep.
Oh, absolutely. Again, 10 out of 10 experience for him. He loves that.
Would recommend.
Yep. Yeah. So I definitely put all those movies on. Excuse me. I did not put all of those movies on. I skipped over number two because, and let me educate you on Twilight knowers. Movie/book 2 is basically a book in which a girl who's been brainwashed into thinking that her vampire lover is, well, excuse me, not lover, suitor is the only thing that's keeping her alive, basically. She is so tethered to him that she basically tries to fling herself off cliffs for the entire movie.
Oh my God. Like, both the book and the movie, half of it was either her sitting in her room by herself, and in the books, one-word chapters.
Yep.
And then the other half was her going fucking nuts, hallucinating, yep, while also putting her in danger from that rabid vampire that was hunting her.
Victoria. And yes, correct.
Yep.
So I skipped that movie because I was in a fragile place and I know myself.
I get it. I totally get it.
But yeah, I mean, to get back to DIY.
That was a good segue. I liked it.
That was the mood that I set. I was supposed to be eating birthday cupcakes, but the dog ate them, so that's cool. Instead, I was drinking ice water and watching Twilight and painting. But that painting let
me... Not even a cocktail?
Excuse me, sorry?
Not even a cocktail?
No, I wasn't drinking. I don't drink that much, despite what this podcast may make it sound like. I actually, like... most nights of the week, do not drink. And the night before that, I had chugged a bottle of sparkling things. Was it Prosecco or was it champagne? Either way. Yeah, I gave myself a night of reprieve
there. It was champagne. It was champagne.
You're right. Oh, thank you for knowing.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
I was on the phone with you.
So that was my process, that whole setup. And
so 10 out of 10 would recommend, would do again. Well, it sounds like you're currently painting everything right now.
Yes, so. I plan to do it again. The thing is, I don't know if it will give me that same therapeutic feeling that it did that first night. So I'll be interested to know, you know, as I continue to do it, if I feel those same benefits as I did that first night. It really calmed me down. It really took me out of the miserable spiral that I was on.
Because of that reason, like, it really put you into a better spot than where you were before you started it.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that if you just continue to do it, like, all willy-nilly when you're not having those sense of anxiousness?
Mm-hmm.
Do you think, like, it'll ruin it for the times when you really need it? Does that question make sense?
Yeah, it definitely makes sense. And I don't think so. I think I like it enough that it will probably bring me that sense of, quick fix or quick dopamine hit. excuse me, there's a fungus gnat attacking my face.
Ew.
I know. I tried to bring in my spicy pepper plant and from outside to see if I could grow it inside over the winter with some grow lights. Again, DIY rigging that. feeling. And it was so infested with gnats that it's been about 2 weeks since I took it back outside. And while the population has diminished, it is still not completely gone. So I was just going to say, so anyway, to answer your question, I do think it's going to continue to help me, but it is something to note. I think when I'm, well, this is actually a great spot to bring up the fact that we are going to be doing 30, maybe 60, maybe 90, definitely 30 day check-ins for our anxious thing. So whatever we talked about 30 days prior to that episode, we will be giving an update. Did we continue to do it? If we continue to do it, did we change anything at all? Did we, you know, keep the process pretty much the same? How did it affect us? Did we do it because of anxiety reasons or just because we enjoyed the activity, etc.? For our first 30 days, I'm very interested to know if when I continue doing it, it will be, you know, answering your question.
Right, right, right. Yeah, that brings us to pretty much, are we going to continue doing this?
Yep.
Your answer was a resounding yes.
Oh, hell yeah.
Mine, I don't know, because I would like to do some sort of DIY, and I would like to get better at cross-stitching just because I think it's like freaking cool what people can create.
Yeah.
But I don't know if that's the right one for me. Maybe I just need better materials, you know? Or do I need to try something else?
Can I interrupt you quickly? I do want to get back to the materials and doing something else. So definitely let's bookmark that. But right. You just brought something up that I wish we had talked about up at the top, because this was one of my big fears about DIYing in general, is producing a product that measures up to other people.
Yeah, but I didn't really have that fear. And I don't know why, because I am such a perfectionist with things like that, that I don't know why I didn't have that fear. Maybe because I knew like it was for a reason.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I felt a lot like, I mean, I didn't put expectations on myself, which was good, because I typically do that sort of thing, especially when it's creative output, because I already have predetermined that I'm going to be so bad at it. But I was using tutorials from, you know, multi-thousand follower influencer types. So yeah. I have like a preconceived notion of what I should be able to achieve using these same ingredients or same products. And I'm really glad that in this case, that didn't hold me up at all.
But you need, and I need to remind myself of this whenever I see an influencer on my feed, it's probably not the first time that they've done that.
True.
They probably didn't even do it themselves. So don't beat yourself up over it. I know it's easier said than done, to be honest, but, and maybe that's why I didn't go to that place, but yeah. I don't know.
That's a good point, though. I mean, like, look at this behind me. Well, for those of you who can't see me, which is everyone except for Kate, I got a piece of art that had a weird sized frame, and I needed to find a weird sized frame that was also beautiful, and I couldn't do that. So I created one.
Great.
Yeah, it did. It turned out great. I'm really impressed with myself. But if I remind myself approximately 6 months ago when I first spray painted and did my own spray paint endeavor, it came out so bad because I didn't know how far away to hold the spray paint can, even though it clearly says at least 6 to 12 inches. I was like, what is 6 to 12 inches? So you're right. You're absolutely right. It is probably not their first time doing what they're doing. Good point. Mm-hmm. Let's return to our bookmarked things, which you...
Right. More expensive materials.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know what it is, and I'm not sure if it's worth it monetarily, emotionally, mentally worth it for me to explore those different variables.
Sure.
But I have been thinking of getting into pottery, but that's also expensive.
I'm sorry. Are we talking like sculpty clay, or are we talking like a full-blown... What's that movie? I was going to try and bring a movie. Ghost. Yes.
Ghost. Yeah. Full on Ghost with a kiln and everything.
Girl.
Ghost husband.
Are you serious? Are you being serious right now?
Yes, I'm being very serious.
Do you know how many pottery videos that I have saved on my Instagram after seeing them? I want to throw pottery.
Yes. Yes, I want to throw clay so hard. I follow this one girl on TikTok, this one guy on TikTok. Oh my God, they're so brilliant and I want to do it, but it's expensive. That's everything's expensive, I've come to learn.
Yeah, and I think it's a hindrance for getting into things. It's very, actually, I was listening to a very, very, very old episode of My Favorite Murder tonight, which is their self-soothing activity that I do. And one of the hosts specifically said that she wanted to get into something, but you have to throw down so much money to do it. So she never did it. I think that's absolutely a trend. I couldn't imagine the startup money for a hobby when you are, you know, a broke young person.
And that's kind of why I don't really understand why DIYs are a way to quote unquote cure your anxiety, just because, and maybe it's different if you're not a broke millennial, but like any form of hobby to me, unless it's like an intramural sports, which if you know me knows it's not gonna happen. I'm the least coordinated person on the planet, except I did like ballet for 15 goddamn years of my life. So unfortunate.
Imagining the two of us starting our own intramural team of something.
That image is so funny to me. Do you know what I mean? Like, money makes me probably, it's in like my top five of what makes me most anxious. So thinking of like spending money on a DIY or like a project of some sort just makes me so anxious, even if I want to do it so bad.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like a double-edged sword. Like, it could stop the anxiety, but it's giving me anxiety leading up to the activity.
Yes, I think that is something that if someone out in the world has a great recommendation of a free or cheap DIY that they like to do, please share it. I think
yes,
that is one of the reasons why I like what I chose so much. I got, you know, most of the things for quote unquote free in that they were byproducts of things that I already purchased, or they were from Goodwill and they were ugly anyway. I can't wait to show you, actually. It looks
really— I'm so excited.
Oh, you know what I forgot in my process portion? I then had to do a waterproofing spray because obviously with the paint getting mixed with water, it's not going to stay. So you have to coat it on the outside.
Got it.
So that costs money. The spray costs money. I think it costs like $6. And then the acrylic paints cost, you know, you can get really good acrylic.
Yeah.
But these were super cheap. So I think all told, I spent probably less than $15 on this project in general.
That's amazing.
But it's not the longest lasting thing. Like, I've used
it. Oh, it's not?
No, I've used up probably 80% of the paint.
I thought you meant like it didn't last long on the vase.
Okay. Oh, no, it lasts as long as you take care of the item itself and you definitely give it a good coating of waterproofing. But that's definitely an option for cheapy cheap. But yeah, I don't know. Some of these people who do like the clay making, that's one that I'm fascinated with that I wish I could get into.
Yeah, and I guess it really all depends on the DIY or the hobby that you choose, because some can be cheap like yours, others like mine, you need the right materials to do it. And sometimes they're not cheap. Like knitting, yarn isn't cheap.
Right. Yep.
Yarn isn't cheap. It can last you a long time, but it's not cheap.
Pro tip, approximately a year and a half ago, so this is very helpful for you, I was at a thrift store in Rockville that had a giant floor to ceiling cabinet full of 50 cent yarn. Like,
no way.
Skein, that, you know, that word SK something, skeins of yarn.
Yeah. I think you're saying it right, but.
Well, I said it like 16 different ways. Okay. So. But yeah. Okay. So I think the things that are going to pop back up are cost, really.
Yeah. We'll
bring that back up. And then just in general, if we chose a different method of DIY and that ended up working better for you in your case or being as beneficial as the baking soda painting in my case.
Yeah, I definitely think, and granted, I can't see 30 days into the future, but I do think that I do want to try another DIY just because I want that meditative feeling.
Yeah.
And like, because I know that it can work for some people.
Right.
Not cure it, but definitely help it. So I think I'm going to try a different one, or at least try not to be so perfect.
Sure. That makes sense. Yeah. So we are not cured.
No, we are not.
But at least we tried.
At least we tried. And we're going to keep trying just for you lovely people. And also probably for us. I don't know.
Probably.
Okay. Rose and thorn for either today or this week or this month.
Is that a phrase that you came up with?
No.
It's a thing.
It's a thing.
Okay. Also, can I quickly tell you that?
Can I just like retract my statement? So you think I'm a genius?
Yes.
Yes, I did make it up.
Wow. You're so smart.
I know. Look at me go. Ha.
Well, I just found out that grout fit is a phrase that people know and say.
What does that mean?
Gray outfit.
That's stupid.
Well, you know, my stepsister, well, technically stepmom, said it about my stepsister. And I was like, oh, that must be a thing that they say. And then freaking 2 days later, my sister said it. I just ordered a grout fit. And I was like, what is the world coming to? Is this something? And so I asked her, and I asked her boyfriend, is this something that the youth say? Is this? And they were both like, how did you miss this? Yes, this is something that people say all the time. It stemmed from the gray sweatpant movement of, you know, all those boys and their cute gray sweatpants.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
But I missed it. So I'm not surprised. I also missed Rose and Thorn as well.
I have very strong opinions about that, but I don't want to offend anybody who says it. So I'm going to keep my thoughts to myself.
Yeah. Back the heck up. a nice thing and a maybe not so nice thing. So I think my not so nice thing is I have been suffering from hormonal acne for about 2 months now. It came out of nowhere. I cannot get it under control. And as someone who has an intolerance to gluten, and I probably shouldn't be eating dairy. I mean, during quarantine, my diet has been as clean as it ever has been because I cook for myself. So I feel like normally I would blame it on my diet, and it's not that. And they just keep popping up. Like every time I think it's over, it keeps coming. So I finally got to go to a dermatologist, and you know me, I'm not a big prescription type person. I try to rely on my food and my environment and, you know, those sorts of things that I can control, which might tell you a little bit about me. But I finally was like, I need to do something about this. So I went to a dermatologist on Zoom, which was a very fun, exciting endeavor. And outside of getting blood work to check my hormone levels and my thyroid, and then to get on a prescription, she also recommended an over-the-counter topical. I was so excited. It was so damn expensive, and I am literally counting every single penny that I have these days. So I really had to manipulate some funds to be able to get it. I ordered it, and it was supposed to be delivered, and it got delivered early because I wasn't looking out for it. It got snatched. And so I can't reorder it. And I'm pretty freaking peeved about that. So that
sucks that like they didn't even return it when they found out what it was. Like they can't use it. Do they have cystic acne? Like
they really enjoy the cystic acne cream.
I don't understand.
I know. It's like, what are the chances that the thief, package thief, also has potentially hormonal cystic acne that they need a thick-ass cream for?
I'm sorry that that happened. That sucks.
Me too. Definitely the thorn, but I think the bright spot in my little rose is that my sister is a really wonderful human being, and she knew that my 30th birthday, which was about 10 days ago, was probably one of the worst birthdays of all time. And she went above and beyond to make me feel, you know, even remotely happy.
It was gorgeous.
Yeah, she got me a gorgeous naked red velvet cake.
Oh my God.
With beautiful roses and baby's breath on the top of it instead of like a topping. It was gorgeous. And she sent me a bottle of Veuve in a little Veuve jacket. I don't know if you've seen
Veuve jacket. Yeah. Yeah.
She sent me, we both wear the same perfume, which is one of my favorite things because it makes me feel like we're together even though we're not. So she got me our perfume and then she got me $50 worth of quarters for the laundry machine, which is probably one of
the most
pathetic sounding birthday gifts. But
no, that is awesome. You've been like scrounging for quarters.
Yeah, there's a national corn coin outage. I think corn is fine. We have plenty of that. So that
That's good.
Yeah, that's my happy thing. She is so far beyond the beautiful person. She's one of the amazing humans that I know.
Yeah. Oh, that's good.
What are yours?
Okay. Should I start with my rose or my thorn?
Whatever you prefer. You should go thorn so then we can end on a rose.
Okay. The thorn in my sad has been the state of my apartment. Honestly, I can't be asked to clean it. I have zero motivation. I cleaned out my closet. There's trash bags full of my old shoes just sitting in my hallway. I trip over them every single day. I have clean laundry on my drying rack that has been sitting there for 2.5 weeks. I have opened cardboard boxes that had packages in it, just like chilling because I don't want to take it all the way outside to the dumpster. But I will say, this isn't my rose, by the way, but I will say that I have been making my bed and doing my dishes every single day.
Snaps for you.
Thank you. I try.
It is amazing once you start making your bed. I was a full proponent of never making my bed until I moved into this apartment in March. And now I make my bed every single freaking day. Isn't it crazy?
It's so crazy. And my boyfriend doesn't understand. Doesn't understand.
It's a full mindset change. Just like walking in. Well, for me, it's even less, I would assume, than for you. You have a studio apartment, so it must be incredible to just, like, walk over into that section and see it.
Yeah, and I don't know why, but, like, the sheets seem crisper. They seem colder. You get to just, like, snuggle in and not have to, like, mess with any rumpled sheet. Oh, it's a glorious feeling.
Yep, I feel you on that one. That's a good one. Well, I hope that you feel up to tackling your room or your apartment soon. But you know what? Take it section by section. That way you don't have to deal with it all at once.
Yeah, I know that I need to do at least like that. Take it by section. I don't know. Like, it just seems so overwhelming right now. But I'll most likely get to it this weekend. Like, I'll put on a podcast or Spotify on my TV and just knock it the fuck out. It's such a daunting task that I don't even want to think about it until it gets too overwhelming and I can't work. You know what I mean?
I totally get it. Well.
So anyway, I actually have two thorn. So I actually have two roses this week. And one is just very inconsequential, but it's making me super happy. My wine actually matches the placemat that my laptop's on. And it's so very soothing to me. It like matches perfectly. Because I'm drinking a rosé. It's like pale pink. My placemat's pale pink. Oh my God, I fucking love it. Oh, and my laptop. Oh my God. I need to take a picture and send it to you. This is so goddamn aesthetic.
You really do love an aesthetic moment.
Girl, I am all about it. I'll just like shove everything that's on this desk off of the desk so I can take a picture and like send it to you because this is blowing my mind right now.
I'm so happy for you that you get this beautiful aesthetic moment.
I'm happy for myself because aestheticism is one of the things that makes me so happy, especially when it's accidental.
You know what I mean? You didn't have to try hard to get there. That's very exciting.
So my second one is that Elliot Page came out today.
I'm so happy for him.
I'm so happy for him. That just made me so happy that he feels comfortable enough now to be his authentic, true self.
It is a wonderful thing. And I'm thankful that there are safe spaces for people to be able to do that. And I hope that the more visibility people like Elliot have, that the larger the safe space becomes around the world. Because I think I was looking at a statistic. Well, I'm not going to pull that number up because I don't want to talk out my bum, but it was something that shocked me as a very cis, white, you know, heterosexual individual, of just like the violence that is perpetrated against people who are quite literally anything but. So
yeah, it's crazy. Plus, I love the name Elliot.
Elliot is one of those like hipster names.
Yeah, I think it's the double L with the I-O after, like Elliot. I don't know. I really like it.
Okay. I like it, and I am feeling it for Elliot Page specifically, but I often think of Elliot's as diabolical. So I don't know. I think there's probably some sort of fictional character or something that I read about when back in the days or something that really sealed like that.
Stuck in your mind.
Yeah. But when I think of Elliot's, I think of like secretive, smarmy kind of individuals. But Elliot Page is none of the sort. So
none of those things. He seems so sweet, but like so cool in like a very, like he doesn't have to try to
be cool. I was actually listening to the one song from the Juno soundtrack today, which is so strange. Like, this was hours and hours before the news broke about Elliot Page. I feel like that's a little bit of serendipity, but yeah, it's a pretty cool thing. Very exciting.
Funny.
Mm-hmm. All right. Yep. Have we exhausted all of our relevant information?
I definitely think so. I liked ending it on a positive note.
Yes, I think all of our podcasts should be ended on a positive note, given the kind of not positive thing that anxiety can be.
Yeah, especially if we have like non-positive reviews of the things that we are reviewing. So
I don't know if delighted is the right word, but I'm really into the fact that we had such a different experience. And I think we briefly talked about this off mic, but the idea that we can have such different reactions to things allows us to have a really interesting conversation, I think.
Yeah, exactly. I really enjoyed it too, because I mean, no person's anxiety is the same as another's, and it can feel very isolating, but having these open discussions where both of us do have very different forms of anxiety and had very different reactions to the projects that we were working on, it felt less isolating. I felt less isolated in my anxiety.
I agree. I think just the idea that we were going to be talking about it lent to that feeling of, you might be feeling really shitty right now, but you're going to be talking about it. And this is very selfish, but the fact that we are allowed to just openly discuss how anxious we feel is very liberating.
Yes. I actually bring this right back around to Jersey Shore.
Oh, God.
Season 5 is the season where Vinny goes home in the second episode because he's having like an anxiety attack and he feels disconnected from the world. And back then, like, his roommates had no idea how to react to it. And it was just like, oh my God, I'm recording a podcast about anxiety in like 2 hours, and this is the episode that I'm on. Like, it's just so different how the conversation about it has changed. His roommates were just like, relax, bro. You need to get out of your head about it. They would never say that now. Well, some people do, but
they do. And that's the whole point of this podcast.
Yeah. But
I know. I know exactly what you mean. I have so many thoughts, and we're about to make this podcast another full hour if I get into all of them. But first of all, I had no idea Jersey Shore had more than 2 seasons. So
yeah, it has 6.
That's, I don't know how I feel about that. Second of all, that is so strange. I had no idea that anyone from the Jersey Shore had such a situation. Which one is he?
He is the youngest one, I think, and he is the one that doesn't have any hair. He was made fun of for being the palest. He lives on Long Island. He has that huge Italian family.
I hope that when you listen back to this podcast, you hear how you just said Long Island.
I've been watching Jersey Shore for no lie, like a straight week. Get off my back.
I hate that we just said such wonderful positive and negative things and now we're back to Jersey Shore.
I should have said that as my rose. You would have loved that.
Oh my gosh.
Wow. Does this make you want to wrap it up?
Yeah, I want to end this conversation about the scourge of the earth. No, they're not the scourge of the earth.
Well, you can follow us on Twitter at NotExperts1.
And you can follow us on Instagram at WeAreNotExpertsBut. No apostrophe in the we're. So technically it's were, but that's okay. We're not experts, but on Instagram. And please feel free to email us. I know we brought that up a couple times, but we do have our email account, which is?
Our Gmail account is notexpertsbut@gmail.com. We are going to get that down pat by next time.
Or episode 50, either one. We would love to hear from you. This may be our hobby, but we're really excited to be embarking on this podcasting experience. And we promise you it's only going to get better from here. This was a rough first episode.
I think we did pretty well.
I think so too. I think we should retitle our podcast too. We're not Jersey Shore, but
this podcast is just going to become a Jersey Shore recap and review show. So be prepared for some whiplash.
I quit.
That's fine. I can do it on my own.
All right, my friend. Well, cheers to keeping the panic at bay.
Cheers, pal. Until next time.
Until next time. Bye. Bye.